psalm is actually a cheerful one, one of happiness and blessings. Usually I get those kind of crazy ones that you're up and down with God, but this one's all about blessings and happiness. So I'm excited about that. I'm also excited about what's in my backpack today. It's going to be pretty cool. All right, today's psalm, kind of the theme of it is happiness, being happy. Everyone wants to be happy, right? Everybody wants to be happy. As a parent, many times that's all we really wanted for our children, is for you to be happy, to be happy, right? Everybody wants to be happy, but the problem is, in my opinion, everybody wants to be happy, but few are willing to follow God in his ways to achieve it. We all want to be happy, but few are willing to do what God says, and you're just not willing to follow God's way to get it. In fact, I'd venture to say that many, many think that following Jesus actually takes away their happiness. Have you ever thought like that? I want to follow Jesus, but man, there's no joy in that. There's no fun. There's no happiness in that. Some people think actually following Jesus takes away their happiness. They think following Jesus is the hard way. I think following Jesus is the easy way. I think it's a lie to keep saying following Jesus is the hard way. Yes, inherently it's built in, it's denying self and doing certain things, but how is following the world's way or your own way, how's that work for you as you look at your life? When you go your own way and it's your will be done, how does that work for you? How does the struggles, the stress, the worry, and all those things, how does that work for you? Does it make happiness elusive? I think following Jesus is actually the easy way. And maybe we should teach that and tell each other that more often, you know? Instead of going down the road of hard knocks, why don't we just follow the easy yoke? John talked about last week, Matthew 11. Jesus said, bring all your religion, all your struggles, bring them to me. Because my yoke is easy, the burden is light. I will give you rest for this soul of ours. We got to come to him. We got to be paired with him. We got to be fitted with Jesus to find this happiness. I believe that the person who has the easiest, the happiest, the strongest life is the person who walks in the teachings and the ways or the yoke of Christ. I believe that this walk leads to a transformation, a changing of self that leads to a life of blessing and happiness. What do I got today for our journey, our discipleship journey? We're on a journey, remember? Discipleship is a journey. Coffee cup. All our journeys needs a little bit of coffee, doesn't it? How many drink coffee? I'm just kind of curious. Well, how many like Dr. Pepper instead? There we go. Okay. Just put your beverage of choice in there. No, maybe not. Just think of along that way. But this is actually not about what goes in this cup, okay? This is just kind of a picture I want to give you. It's not about coffee. It's about what's on this cup. On this side, you can't see it, but it says half full. And on the other side, it says life is good. And I'm going to add God is good, like we just sang. Half full, life is good. See, this cup is representing perspective. On our life journey, especially as we ascend with him, our onward and upward calling, key to happiness is all about our perspective, how we view life, how we view things. I got this cup from Kara, my daughter-in-law. Our oldest son, Lance, married her, and we lost a child, baby Bryn, and it was just heartbreaking for them, right? But through the process of her being in the hospital and dying, and even our first 2 months of life, we had to kind of watch her a lot. And then the 6 months to follow, I don't know what all I said, but it caused Kara to give me this cup once she was kind of healed up a little bit. Because I was always trying to look at the blessings. The cup was always half full, even with Brynn, and she died. But I never lost that hope. I always thought life is good, and somehow God's going to work it all out together. But it was perspective. And that's what we need on our journey. And enter today's psalm. It gives us a picture of the ideal family, okay? This is a Leave It to Beaver psalm. It's a golly gee psalm. It's a white picket fence psalm, okay? But it's similar to other scriptures that we read about, like in Proverbs 31, it's about the ideal woman. 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, is about the ideal love. So it just gives us a picture of how things can be. The psalm doesn't mean that life's going to be perfect. We all know it's not, right? Life will never be perfect. But it teaches us about this godly perspective that we need to take on life's journey. It contains wisdom. This psalm is not promise, it's wisdom that if we take this perspective about happiness and blessedness, then we're going to experience many more blessings than we are the bad stuff. All right, Psalms 128, 1 through 6. Let me read that for you. Goes like this. Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in his ways. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your sons will be like olive shoots around the table. Thus is the man blessed who fears the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion all the days of your life. May you see prosperity of Jerusalem, and may you live to see your children's children. Peace upon Israel. Leave it to Beaver, isn't it? The perfect, perfect life. We're going to focus on verse 1, but first, the 2 through 6 is about having blessings on your home life. With your wife or your husband and your children are going to grow, and they're going to be perfectly fine, aren't they? They're going to be blessed. Just blessings all the way around. Again, we all know it doesn't happen exactly like that, okay? It's a picture of how life can be. It's wisdom. If we fear the Lord and walk in his way, these things, our perspective is going to see things as they can be or as they really are in God's eyes, if that makes sense. Let's go to that first verse, because we're going to camp out just a little bit here before we move into a teaching of Jesus. 128:1 says, blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in his ways. A couple words here, blessed. It's interpreted as, you know, through the original language as happiness or you're truly well off. Blessed, here's a definition. I think it came from Eugene Peterson or Dallas Willard. I can't remember where I got it. But blessed describes the sense of happiness and wholeness that comes from living in good relationship with God. Does that make sense? You're blessed. You have this happiness, this inner joy, this wholeness as we live in good relationship with God. Now, fear, on the other hand, that's a word that's kind of misunderstood. It's hard to interpret because fear is what it is. It's being afraid, right? Old Testament, the picture of God we get often is a God that will take you out, right? You better mind your X's and O's. He may take you out. People, the relationship is really fear-based as the word reads. Come Jesus, New Testament fear, our understanding of the Father is not really that type of fear. It's being afraid of messing up, afraid of offending him, but it's more about this this approaching him with the sense of reverence, with respect, with awe and honor and worship. Fear in this sense is taking God seriously, what he says, what he commands, who he is. It's submitting, falling under his leadership. Like I said, we just do not want to offend him because we respect him, we revere him, we love him. And fear is the kind of relationship that we can have with God. It's holy fear that gives us the right perspective towards him. It's our initial perspective, our attitude toward him is this holy fear, this type of fear. And this right perspective, this attitude, will lead to right actions, walking in his ways. Jesus, on the other hand, the psalmist is kind of leave it to Beaver talk, right? Jesus didn't like that. He's the king of reality. He says, if you want to be a disciple, it's going to cost you. You're going to have to deny yourself. Life's not going to be the same, but it's going to lead to abundant life and joy. But he was the king of reality. He doesn't sugarcoat things. And in the Beatitudes, it really twists our perspective upside down, as we're going to see. It just kind of changes everything. And in the Beatitudes, he gives us 8 qualities that are needed for true happiness, 8 perspectives in how to view things for true happiness. He challenges our perspectives by answering this question: who has the blessed life? Who has a true, happy life? All right, let me set up the Beatitudes really quickly. In Matthew 4, Jesus is tempted in the wilderness for 40 days, and then right after that, in verse 17, it'll be on the screen, he started going to the countryside, and from that time on, Matthew says, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is near." Okay? And then he went on to call his first disciples, and then he started preaching this message of the kingdom of God and healing people, and then the crowds followed him, and it led him to this mountainside where we get the message of the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount. So these Beatitudes, let me just say this as we get started, they're like a picture of God's kingdom message. Okay, we'll explain that in just a second. Each of these Beatitudes, is Thursday morning, I guess it was, as I was looking at them, I kind of realized that, you know what? These Beatitudes describe Jesus, his earthly nature, who he was, how he loved people, how he taught people. They really describe who he is, his nature, his character. And then as I was in my quiet time on Thursday morning, I said, he is the Beatitudes. He just is the Beatitudes. I know it's a little crazy, but that's all right. So, Matthew 5, verses 3 to 10. You know what? Time out, because I missed something very important. Can you go back? No, that's right there. I missed it. Repent. I've got to give you this definition of repentance. Repentance is rethinking your thinking. Rethinking how you're viewing things. The kingdom of God is the reign of God, the rule of God in our hearts and our minds, okay? And when that's going on, it's what life looks like when God is king in here. His kingdom is ruling your life. And what he's saying here is it's this kingdom of God is available for everyone, for all, even the ones who can't keep commandments, the strugglers, the ragamuffins. This kingdom of God, Jesus is saying, he's making available to everybody. But he talks about first, you got to rethink your thinking, how you view the world, how you view self, how you view life. You got to rethink, you got to turn your back on the old thinking, and let the reign of God rule in your ordinary, everyday life. It's available. It's what society looks like. Looks what your day looks like when God is king in your life. All right, back to Matthew 5, verse 3. This is the first of the Beatitudes. It goes like this: blessed are the poor in spirit, because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed, happy are those who are poor in spirit. How can that be happy? How can a poor in spirit be happiness? I don't know. It's hard to understand. But the poor in spirit, the word poor means to be beggarly, to be cower down, to crouch in spirit. Okay? And that's the way that we enter this kingdom of God that Jesus preached about. It's his message. That is the way to lead to letting him be our boss. Not just our Savior to be saved, but also our teacher, and just our everyday Lord. We are poor in spirit. Now, let's go back to Jesus here, Philippians 2. Because sometimes you may be thinking, well, I don't really see, if he's the Beatitudes, I don't see Jesus as being poor in spirit. But he is, or was, as we see here. Verse 3, Philippians 2, 3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. But in humility, consider others better than yourself. Each of you should not look only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Here we go. Who, being in the very nature or form God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. He was poor in spirit. But he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Poor in spirit leads to kingdom awareness, being in his kingdom. Blessed are those who mourn, this next one, because they will be comforted. Again, this is, I mean, who wants to mourn, really, right? Who wants to mourn? But what about this perspective? Those who lament and mourn maybe over the sins of the world or sins of someone else or your own sins or just over a great loss or losing something that you just think you can't live about. What is the end of that? You will be comforted. You will be comforted. It's going to be painful. But in the end, the word comfort means exhorted or encouraged. The beauty of this, Jesus is saying, in the kingdom of God, you're blessed, you're happy when you mourn because God is going to show up. He's going to make you better. You're going to grow closer to him. You're going to be encouraged in your relationship with him. Blessed are those who mourn. The next one, happy are the meek or the gentle because they will inherit the earth. You know, the gentle, if you're a gentleman or gentlewoman, the way the world goes, you may get run over a lot, okay? You maybe get pushed over some. You're not always going to win, so to speak. You're going to give more than you receive, maybe, right? But Jesus says, happy and blessed those who are gentle, because you will inherit the earth. And let me just say this, I don't know what he means by that, inherit the earth. Does anybody want to help me with that? I've thought about it, it's like, why does a gentle, what does it mean to inherit the earth?
Maybe the new earth.
The new earth, maybe. I thought of Psalm 23, that maybe the gentle realize that he is their shepherd, and they're not going to be in want. The earth will be theirs. The kingdom world, as it's lived, it's just in them, and they inherit it. I don't know. Number 6, verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for justice, because they will be filled. Again, we're happy. This is a huge one. If we're going to hunger and thirst for our own desires and just what's going around us, from career to money to vehicles to kids doing great to, if we're going to get our satisfaction or feel just from what we can see and how we live and happy by the world standards, you're going to be greatly disappointed. The soul, all of us have this craving for more. We want more. We want more. It's just like in us, right? Those who want more of the righteousness of being right with God, those who want more justice for those around us, those are the ones who are going to be filled. Those are going to be the ones who achieve and receive happiness. All the other stuff is fleeting and even fool's gold, if I may call it that. Blessed are the merciful, because they will be shown mercy. The merciful can be viewed as a pushover too, right? Have you ever heard the principle in Scripture or the principle of life? You reap what you sow. So true, isn't it? If you sow seeds of hate, discord, drama, however you want to word things, gossip, you know what? It comes back to you. And then you wonder why it's coming back to me. If you sow seeds of kindness, grace, mercy, as a general rule, what comes back to you? The same things. Blessed are those who are merciful, because they will receive mercy. That is such a awesome promise, principle in Scripture. You reap what you sow, and happy are you when you sow seeds of mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, because they will see God. The pure in heart are happy because their motives, they're checking their motives, and their motives are pure. You don't use people for what they can give you. You just love people for who they are. You want to help them as much as you want, you know, you want to have this relationship that's two-way, not a one-way relationship. Your motivation for God is not something you can get from him or maybe he'll protect me. You just have a pure motive for God and your relationship with him and for man and for one another. Blessed are the peacemakers, because they will be called sons of God. The peacemaker is always in the middle. Happy are the peacemakers. Well, how can that be happy, right? I describe being a peacemaker, this is silly, but I shouldn't even say it, it's so silly. But for some reason in my brain, when I'm doing a peacemaking row, I feel like a hamburger. There's a bun, a piece of meat, that would be me, and then the other bun underneath it. It's just like whatever's going on between two people, I'm in the middle, right? Blessed are the peacemakers, they're always in the middle. It's like a police officer. He goes to some domestic dispute. You got one side, the other side. Both sides probably think they're right. Police officer's right in the middle trying to obtain peace, to make peace, see what's going on. This side won't trust him. This side won't trust her either, right? And they're in the middle. Such is the life of a peacemaker. But they desire the best for all. But it's a tough position to be in. But Jesus says, happy. Happy are you peacemakers. Why? Why? You'll be called as sons and daughters of God. You're so close to God's message, his gospel of peace, of being peace with God, peace with man, and that leads to peace with self. Blessed and peaceful are the peacemakers. Then the last one is, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness or justice, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Our persecution compared to their persecution really is just not anything close. Jesus and disciples and a lot of these folks that are sitting with Jesus in this time were going to be executed on a cross or arrested or beaten or losing everything, okay? We usually don't have to worry about that kind of thing now. What is our persecution? It can be losing a set of friends. It could be being generous with your time or money and doing less selfish things or having less for yourself. It could be so many ways to be persecuted. But Jesus says, blessed are the persecuted because of doing right with man and right with God, because of going for living for justice, because yours is the kingdom of heaven. You are in the kingdom of the heavens when you do all these things. You experience the kingdom of heaven. Maybe you're living that hard way that I described in the beginning. It doesn't have to be necessarily a sinful lifestyle as people would think by just watching your life, but it can be subtle. You're living for your kingdom, and it's getting hard. It's a heavy burden to do because you're always chasing life. You're always trying to do too much on your own, and the burden does get heavy. I don't know where you are. Maybe you're mourning something right now, just the loss of something. Don Nation, one of our members, lost his wife. And I can't imagine the pain he's going through right now. I really can't. But I know he will be comforted. What are you struggling with, if you are? Who are you trusting in? Own self, own abilities, your circumstances right now? Are you trusting in Jesus? Are you trusting the Word? Are you trusting this kingdom of God message of his? Depending on where you are, it probably doesn't really matter where you are. There's some kind of repentance that we need to do, that rethink our thinking, our perspective, how we're seeing. What ways are we walking in? There's always this repentance that we need to do. Rethink our thinking, change our perspective. Take hold of that holy fear that I talked about, that reverence, that awe, that honor of God. We must be where we don't want to mess up for him, right? We want to walk in his ways because of our love and our trust in him. Walk in his ways is the bottom line. That's kind of the proof. The proof of your love for God is your life. What does your life speak? Which reminds me of an old song. When I think of you reap what you sow, and how we live does matter. How we live, it has a ripple effect on everything, right? Everything. It brings me back to that old hymn, which is the key. It's called trust and obey. Why is that? Because there's no other way to be what? Happy in Jesus. Like I said a couple weeks ago, I think I said it recently, I don't know when it was, the older I get, the more I realize that trust in God, trust in Jesus, is the only way. Trust Him enough that fear is even a form of trust, you know, that fear in God, that holy fear. Trust in Him enough to obey Him. Trust Him enough to know that I'll be happy, I'll be blessed, even if I mourn, or even if I'm gentle in my relationships, even if I'm a peacemaker. Trust Him enough that I obey this, I'm going to experience happiness, joy of living. The kingdom of heavens is designed for our good. Scripture is designed for our good. Jesus wants our good. I want us to be the happiest people on the earth, right? Joyful. Amen. Confession. Well, it's kind of a weird confession, but I'll say it anyway. I've been really busy this week. I don't know why. It's like craziness. There's a lot kind of going on. So this message, Sunday's coming. It's in here. It's coming. But I kept doing other things. I kept looking at it and then going about doing other things. And I guess things that were more in my heart, you know? People stuff, really. And I found myself that I kind of forgot till this morning, crunch time, that I really didn't invoke or invite God's blessings on this sermon. It's like I was doing it myself. Not totally. I did pray a little bit. I did seek Him. I looked at scriptures. But it's just a picture of me, how I've got to trust and obey. There's just no other way. It's a picture of His yoke is easy. He is the easy way. I took the hard way by trying to do it. It's trying to do it. If we're yoked with Him, fitted with Him, that's the easy way, right? Father, we thank You for Your mercy, Your grace. We thank You for Jesus' message that the kingdom of the heavens is available to all of us, all us ordinary folks, all us people that just can't get it right, all us messed up people. The kingdom of God is available to us. We're thankful for those of us that need to repent, just like I just did. Rethink our thinking and join You in Your kingdom ways, the way of Jesus. Live out the heartbeat of Jesus. So we thank You for Him, His teaching, His ways. Father, I want to encourage each of us to continue on our onward and upward ascent, our journey of discipleship. It's long sometimes. It can be difficult. But God, You gave us the easier path. May we choose it. May we seek it. May we seek You. We love You. We need You. We pray this and so much more in Your Son's precious name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand.